I want you to think about, is there one word in our society that you're just tired of hearing? Is there one topic in our society, in our nation, you're just tired of hearing about it, and you wish they would change the subject? It's probably a dangerous way to introduce a sermon because you think, well, I don't want to hear about it. Why are we talking about it? But aren't you tired of hearing about health care? That's about all you ever hear about. You turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, and everything's about health care this and health care that, and everybody's got their own opinion about health care. And nobody's got great ideas. Nobody's got the best ideas. They just have ideas. And all the same to me, they could just change the subject and everything would be okay. Not to say that health care is not important. Not to say that we don't need it. But at some point, you just get tired of hearing about it. Their plans are flawed, all of them. Their plans have holes. Their plans have mistakes. Their plans have things that are lacking. Nobody has the perfect health care plan, except for God. God has the perfect health care plan for you. I'm not talking about our physical health. I'm not talking about your foot hurting, your back hurting, your head hurting, or anything else hurting this morning. That's not the health care that I want us to think about this morning. God has a health care plan for you that is perfect because it addresses the very part of our life that needs it the most, our spiritual health. If you've got your Bibles, look in Numbers chapter 21, because I want to use this story that Corey read from us from Numbers chapter 21 as the basis for looking at God's perfect health care plan for us. And I hope you know this story. We're going to go through it as we go through this lesson today. I hope you know the story about how these serpents came among the people and how the people were bitten, how they cried out to God, and how God provided a means for which their health, their life could be saved. There's four P's in God's perfect health care plan that I want us to look at this morning. And then I've got, got a question at the very end. It starts with a P too. And I want you to think about these words that we've been hearing over and over and over again in regards to the healthcare plan in our nation, you know, they apply to our spiritual health as well. Do you realize that when it comes to God's perfect healthcare plan, that all of us have a pre-existing condition? You heard that word enough already that in the last year? All of us have a pre-existing condition. You got Numbers chapter 21? Look at what happens. Look at verse 5. People spoke out against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food or water, and our soul loathes this manna, this worthless bread that you've given to us." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. They've got a pre-existing condition. Even before they come to God, even before they acknowledge their problems, they've got a pre-existing condition. These serpents are biting them and they are dying. Guess what? You and I have a pre-existing condition. Look in James chapter 1. You and I have a pre-existing condition. You and I are very sick. Did you know that? Maybe you felt pretty good when you got up this morning. I'm about ready to tell you, you're not feeling so good. You and I, the whole world in which we live is very sick. We all have this pre-existing condition. We all have this problem that the Bible calls sin. There is no more devastating disease in all of the world than sin. You can have cancer. It's not as bad as sin. You can have heart problems. It's not as bad as sin. Sin is the most devastating disease in all of the world. Jesus said it is addicting. Jesus said it is the worst of all diseases. Why? Because sin is the only disease on this planet that will separate you from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 teaches us that. Sin is a devastating disease. Sin is the only disease on this planet that infects every accountable person. You know, there are some of you who have cancer. But not everyone in this world has cancer. There are some who have some diseases in this world, but not everybody has that disease. Sin is the most devastating disease because every accountable person on this planet has been infected by it. Sin's the most devastating of all diseases because here's a disease that no one can inherit. You might have something today, a physical disease that you inherited from your parents. But the Bible teaches that sin is not something that is inherited. The Bible teaches in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the soul whose sin shall die, not the souls of his parents. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, neither shall the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness will be on the soul of the righteous and the wickedness on the soul of the wicked. We don't inherit it. It's the worst and most devastating of all diseases because we ourselves bring it upon us. And it's the most devastating of all diseases because there's only one possible diagnosis for it. The wages of sin is death. You know who's causing this problem in our world? You know who it is that's bringing about all of these problems? Who was it that was bringing about these diseases in Numbers 21? It's those serpents that are biting the people. Guess what? We have a serpent too. The Bible calls him the old serpent, Satan. He's the one who's going around infecting everyone. He's the one going around taking that which is sinful, taking that which will separate us from God, taking that will divide us from God, taking that which will lead us to death. And he's making it look so good. He's making it look so appealing. He's taking that which is so wrong and making it look so right. Isn't he? Look in James chapter 1. Look at what he says, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt any man. We need to hear that. The sin that's coming in our lives, the temptations that are coming in our life are not the result of God doing it. Why did God let this happen? Why did God bring this upon me? He didn't. There's somebody else who's responsible for that. But each one, verse 14, is tempted when he is drawn away. You know what Satan's playing with? Your own desires. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what Satan's playing with. Satan's taking that which is so evil and he's making it look so good. He's taking that and we are being drawn away by our own desires and enticed. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Satan is out there and his number one goal is to devour you. He'll take you in one big bite, or if it's necessary, he'll take you in a few little nibbles here and there, little bites every once in a while. His goal is to devour you one way or another. If he can't get you with one temptation, he'll try something else. If he can't defeat you with one weakness, he'll go after another one. You and I have got a pre-existing condition. Every one of us has been infected by sin. And if somebody says, well, that's not a big deal to me, look at the very next verse in James chapter 1, verse 16. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. We don't need to be deceived by the power of sin. Mike, thank you for that prayer. May God help us, as Mike prayed, to know what sin is and to know what sin does. It's destroying our world, it's destroying our nation, and if we allow it, it will destroy us. We've got a pre-existing condition. Does that mean that nobody's going to provide health care for us? That's the problem, right? With pre-existing conditions, nobody's going to provide health care. Do you know that we have a provider? Go back to Numbers chapter 21. Where did the people go? Here they've got this disease that is killing them. They've got a provider, verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, notice in verse 5, they were griping and complaining. Two verses later, they come back to Moses. We have sinned, for we have spoken against who? We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Who's our provider? Pray to the Lord that He will take away the serpents from us. We've got a provider. We've got a provider who treats each patient, you and me, impartially. He doesn't treat us like we have a pre-existing condition, because each and every one of us has a pre-existing condition. Peter learned after a period of time and God revealing these things to him, he learned, I perceive in truth, Acts 10 verse 34, that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't show partiality. Our provider doesn't look at the color of our skin. Our provider doesn't look at our age. Are we getting too old to have health care provided to us? He doesn't look at any of that. In fact, what's interesting about Numbers chapter 21 is that in verse 5, they were complaining against God, and in verse 7, they go right back to the same God that they were complaining against. The very one whom we sin against is the very one who provides us the remedy, who provides us a way to recover. Isn't that ironic? You and I sin against God on a daily basis. But the only one who can provide a means of escape from that sin is the one we have sinned against. Do you have a hard time forgiving someone who has deliberately caused you wrong? Do you have a hard time forgiving someone who has deliberately gone against your wishes, your desires? We've got a hard time looking at someone again and saying, okay, I'll have a relationship with you. Yeah, okay, I'll be friends. Okay, I'll... We have a hard time forgiving those people. And yet, the very one we sin against is the only one who can forgive us. Very first song that we sang this morning, God is so good. There's no greater statement that we can make. And in fact, it's an understatement to even say that. God is so good to me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve what He does for me. I don't deserve to be forgiven of those things that I have done intentionally against God. But you know why He forgives us? Because He is a caring God. Find a healthcare provider today who's caring like God is. You pick up the phone and you got to hit 50 different buttons just to talk to somebody, right? You fall down to your knees. You don't have to hit any buttons. You pray to your provider. You cast all your cares upon Him because why? He cares for you. That's our healthcare provider. That's God who is caring. That's God who is loving. That's God who is patient with us. If you actually get a real person on the phone with your healthcare provider, how patient are they with you? How patient are you with them? Our God is long-suffering. Every time we make mistakes, He's willing to forgive us of them. He's loving. He's patient with me. He's merciful. I don't deserve what He gives me. I deserve much worse than what He gives me, but He's merciful to me. My health care provider is able. There's nothing He is not able to do. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day. Our God is able. He's our provider. And folks, we need to know that He's the only provider. You know, you might have, at least for a limited time, you might have choices in your health care today. If you don't like the options in your health care provisions today, you could ditch that plan and go find another plan, right? And if you don't like their provisions, you could get rid of that one and maybe go find another one. With God and our spiritual health, there's only one provider. And if we turn our back on Him, if we give up on Him, there remains no other sacrifice for our sins. There's no other way we can be saved than to approach God with our pre-existing condition, to come before Him as the provider of all things, and to do just like they did in Numbers 21 and beg God's forgiveness. And when we ask God's forgiveness, do you know what He gives us? He gives us a prescription. You ever got a prescription and taken it down to the drugstore and had it filled? God gives us a prescription. Go back to Numbers 21. Look at the prescription that's given to them in Numbers chapter 21. They ask God to forgive them. The end of verse 7, Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, look at what happens. Numbers 21, 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, here's the prescription. Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be, hang on, what are we doing? You make a fiery serpent, you set it on a pole. Who's this prescription for? Who's it going to benefit? Look in verse 8. It shall be that everyone who is bitten. Is this only for the certain age group? Is this only for the certain race? Is this only for the certain? No, it's for everyone who is bitten. And he looks at this. And then you look down in verse 9. When Moses had made the bronze serpent, he put it on a pole, and so it was if a serpent had bitten anyone. God gives a prescription in Numbers 21 that is good for everyone who has the pre-existing condition of being bitten by a serpent. You and I have a pre-existing condition of being bitten by a serpent. We've made choices to follow Satan instead of following the Lord. God gives a prescription to be saved. And it's for everybody. It's not just for His favorites. Not just for His chosen. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Very end of the Bible, the last page you have in Revelation 22 says, whosoever will may come. God's invitation, God's prescription is truly for everyone. And so God said, everyone who is bitten, if he will do this, he will be saved. The type's going to be kind of small on the screen, so I hope you can see this. And this is not exhaustive by any means, but I want us to see part of the prescription that God has given for us. You know, you go to your doctor. You go to your doctor and you've got a certain ailment, and you want something for it. Get rid of this pain. Get rid of this sickness. Get rid of this whatever. You want Him to give you something. He gives you that little piece of paper. Oh, you feel good, right? You already feel better just having the piece of paper in your hand. You haven't done anything. You haven't taken anything, but you feel better just having that piece of paper. You walk down, you get the medicine, and all, everything just gets better. That's perfect world, right? Everything gets better. God's given us a prescription. It's on paper. He's laid it out before us. He's told us what we need to do to take care of our pre-existing condition. The prescription says we must believe in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is. We've got to believe in God in order to be pleasing to Him. If we're going to follow God's prescription, we've got to come to Christ. We can't keep living out there. We've got to come to Christ in order that we might be blessed and have rest. If we're going to follow God's prescription, part of God's prescription for us is that we will truly love Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. We need to truly love God in order to be born of God. If we're going to follow God's prescription, we need to trust Him. Proverbs says, trust Him with all of your heart. 2 Corinthians says, trust Him in order that you might be delivered. We will not be delivered if we don't trust in the Lord. You want to know what God prescribes for us in order that we might be cured from this serpent-bitten, I'm using too many words here, serpent-bitten pre-existing condition that we have? That was a horrible long sentence with a lot of P's. You know what God's prescription is? We've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that with all of your heart? We've got to believe in the words of the Bible, that these really are from God, that everything in here is from God, and that I need to do what it says. In order to follow God's prescription, He prescribes that I obey Him, that I do what He says. In order for me, as a sinner, in order for me, who is one who is filled up with sin, in order to be free from sin, I must obey the prescription of God. You ever got a prescription before and you got it filled and you took it home and it said take 3 times a day and you forgot? Take it 8 times a day and you forgot? I mean, if it says 3 times a day, you might as well say take 20 times a day and you forgot. God says, here's the prescription. You need to obey what I say. You need to repent. Turn away from your sin. Stop doing what you're doing. Turn away from serving Satan and serving sin and come that your sins might be blotted out. Deny yourself. Forget serving what self and flesh wants you to do. Deny yourself in order that you might become a follower of Christ. Confess the faith that is in your heart. That's what that Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they stopped that chariot. They went down into the water. And He baptized him. God's prescription for everyone and anyone. This is not different for any race, any culture, any age group. It's the same for everybody. Is that we must be immersed in order to receive the remission of sins. God's prescription for us comes in two parts. First part of God's prescription is He wants us to be saved. You cannot be saved if you do not do these things that are listed here on the screen. That's God's prescription. That's not man's prescription. That's not the Church of Christ's prescription. That's God's prescription for salvation. As much as Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8, when they were to go and to look at that serpent that was on the pole in order to be saved. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense that God says, put a serpent on a pole and whoever looks at it, he will be saved. What? I've been bitten by a serpent, but I look at this bronze serpent and I won't die. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't matter. If it makes sense to you, it's what God said. Somebody says, I don't understand being baptized. That doesn't make sense to me. Brethren, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to us. It is what God has prescribed. Peter said to those people on the day of Pentecost, be saved from this perverse generation. Second part of God's prescription for us is that we not just be saved, that we stay saved. That we are ones who are remaining in a steadfast service to Him. That we are ones who are serving Him faithfully day after day after day. And just as was prayed in this very service, we are ones who put the Lord and His church first in our lives. Not in an important place, not in a prominent place, in the prominent place, the most important place in our life. In order to stay saved, Romans chapter 12 tells us that we need to take our bodies and present them as a living sacrifice. God, it's not about me anymore. It's all about you if I want to be acceptable to God. If I want to be acceptable to God, the very next verse says, I need to live a holy life. It is so easy to be conformed to this world. That's easy. It's easy because everybody's doing it. And it's easy to do what everybody is doing, but that is not God's prescription. God's prescription is for us to get ourselves saved. And then God tells us to stay saved. You know what our prognosis is? We've had our pre-existing condition. We've talked about our provider. We've talked about his prescription for us. You know what the prognosis is if we do all of this? Go back to Numbers chapter 21. Whoever looks at that serpent, whoever looks at that bronze serpent on the pole shall live. If we follow God's prescription, we will live. Revelation 22 says, if we do His commandments, blessed is he who does His commandments, that he might have right to the tree of life, that he might enter in. Think about the graphic nature of this. That he might enter into the gates of the city. If we follow God's prescription, we shall live. What would happen to those people in Numbers 21 who did not look at that bronze serpent? They were bitten by a serpent, but they chose for whatever reason not to look at the serpent. What was going to happen to them? They were going to die. There's only two options here. You're either going to live or you're going to die. If you do what God says, you live. If you don't do what God says, you will die. God's perfect health care plan is right here. And God's perfect health care plan is the only insurance. You want to talk about insurance? It's the only insurance that we have against death. Not talking physical death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. We're not talking about physical death. We're talking about spiritual death. We're talking about that second death that's talked about in the book of Revelation. We're talking about an eternity in hell. You want to talk about fire insurance? Here it is. The only insurance that we have against death is God's perfect health care plan laid out in His Word. The only guarantee that we have for life is to do what He says. In John chapter 11 and verse 26, Jesus says, "Whoever lives and believes in me, that person shall never die." Spiritually. If you're living and you believe, if you're obeying, if you're following God's prescription, you shall never die. And in John chapter 5 and verse 24, he says that person has passed from death to life. Have you done that? Have you passed from death to life? Are you one who is obeying the commandments of God? We've talked about our pre-existing condition of sin, most devastating disease of all. We've talked about the only one who can provide a means by which to be saved from it. We've talked about His prescription for our life in order that we might be saved. We've looked at the prognosis, what will happen if we do and what will happen if we don't. The last P, and it comes with a question. Who is going to pay for all of this? Isn't that what we've been hearing for the last year about the health care plan in our country? Who's going to pay for it? If you do this plan, who's going to pay for it? If you follow this plan, who's going to pay for it? That's the question everybody's got. Who's going to pay for it? Okay, here's God's perfect health care plan for each of us. Who's going to pay for it? Got any ideas? Anybody want to write a check? Who's going to pay for this prescription plan? Who's going to pay for this perfect plan that God has given to us? Well, let's think about it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Salvation, you can't take care of, it's not of yourselves. So that leaves out who? All of us. If we all pooled all of our dollars and all of our cents together, bring all of your gold bricks down here to the building. I know you got some at home stowed away somewhere, right? Bring them all down here and we pile it all up, and guess what? It cannot take away one single solitary sin of any one of us. We can't take care of it. So Jesus tells us, without me, you can do nothing. We've got to have the Lord. He's the one who makes all of this possible. Remember that Jesus talked about himself being a physician? Did you ever go to the doctor when you were feeling really good? You ever go to the doctor when your health was perfectly fine, didn't have a single thing wrong with you? Jesus said, physician's not for those who are well. The physician is for those who are sick. Jesus is our great physician. You know why he's great? He's great because he knew about our pre-existing condition. And yet he still came. Can you believe that? While we were yet sinners, Christ came. He knew of our pre-existing condition. God sent him, the provider sent him to take care of our problem. Jesus came and he brought the prescription. Peter said to him, "You have the words of not death, not the words of death. You have the words of life." You've got the pre-existing condition. You got the provider. You got the prescription. You got the prognosis. And now when Jesus came, you've got the payment. Jesus paid in order that we might live. 1 Timothy 2 says that he gave himself a ransom for all. What does that mean? Here we were. We didn't belong. We were over there serving Satan. We were over there serving sin. We were in captivity. We had been kidnapped. We had been taken captured by Satan. How are we going to be released? There had to be a ransom paid, but not with money, but with Jesus' own life. He gave himself a ransom. I've had on the screen for this entire lesson this thing that is called, as best as I can figure out, a caduceus. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a caduceus in our nation. Have you ever been to the doctor's office and seen one of these? It's on their name plates. I remember in the pediatrician's office when I was a little kid, the only thing I remember is that big old thing being right in the center. It was scary. You're a little kid, you go to the doctor's office, and there's snakes on the floor. I mean, that's something's wrong with that, right? There's a lot of history about perhaps where this caduceus came from. A lot of mythological, Greek mythological history to say where it came from. But no doubt somewhere in the history and the origin of this thing is the story from Numbers chapter 21, where God told Moses, "You make a bronze serpent, you put it on a pole, whoever looks at it will be saved." Isn't it interesting that our health care in this nation has some basis in the Word of God? But Jesus did something better than that. In John chapter 3, Jesus talked about Numbers 21. And in John chapter 3, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up." John 12, 32, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." We're not talking about a serpent being lifted up on a pole. Our payment has been paid because the Son of God was lifted up on a tree. He paid the price. He bought our redemption. He bought our salvation. His own blood is what paid the price. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, he became sin for us. And while we were dead in our trespass, we were no good. What do we have to offer him? Nothing. How good are we? We're not. How righteous are we? We're not. Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead and he made us alive. We were separated and he reconciled us through his cross. Here we were separated from God and he brought us near by the blood of Jesus. Read Ephesians chapter 2. And without the death of Jesus, without the payment of Jesus, the provider, the prescription, and the prognosis are nothing. They're non-existent. If Jesus had not come and paid the price for you and me. You see, for us, God's health care is free. We can't pay for it. God expects us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He expects us to give ourselves up, yes. But there's not a single thing we can do to earn our way to heaven. It is a gift. I want you to look at your life this morning. You have a pre-existing condition. Every one of us does. You've got a provider who has sent his son. You've been given a prescription to know how to be saved. You've been showed the prognosis if you will obey and the prognosis if you won't obey. And Jesus has come and made the payment in order that today you might be living and not dying. So which are you? Are you living today because you have given your life to the Lord, or are you dying because you're keeping it to yourself? If we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and sing.